Good morning, everybody. Stephen Devon, I'm working on a classified ad here. Can I try this out on you? For sale, adult left kidney, slightly used, best offer or willing to trade for brain of equal value. What do you think?
That's not bad.
Might get some action on that?
I'd prefer your right kidney, but I'll take the
right. Yeah. You prefer the right?
No.
With us is our friend, contributor, and author of Freakonomics, Stephen Devon, who's going to talk about a very interesting idea for a backup plan to raise cash that you can actually carry out in Iran. There is an open market in Iran for the sale of organs, including kidneys. Can you describe that program? Yeah, like you can go to an auction and sell your kidney or your brain or whatever is available for transplant.
Well, yeah. So
this is an economic story, though.
It is an economic story. It's a healthcare story. It's a life and death story. The fact remains that we who are alive now have lived through a medical miracle, which is that we can take an organ from one person who's either doesn't need it, which is rare, or dead, which is less rare, and put it in another person and save their
right.
lives.
We know right. that. The right. question is, in Iran, if you do that on the open market, how much can you get for it, and how do they work this kind of a program?
The government pays you a little bit, about $1,200 or so, but then...
Completely legal.
It's completely legal. There is a market. Now, the Iranian market is, A, not very transparent, meaning we don't know everything we would like to know about it for a variety of reasons.
Like how well it works,
We don't know... There are two big things we don't know that well. We don't know how well the patients do who receive the organs, and we don't know how well the patients do who give the organs. There's been a lot of medical literature kind of sputtering out of Iran for the last 10 years. This program started about 20 years ago, and it became legal to do so. Let me tell you,
but there's one really important consequence that I think you write about in your blog, and that is people don't typically die waiting for an organ in Iran.
They don't typically, not typically, they just don't.
Iran
has no waiting list for kidney transplants. The United States has a waiting list of about 80,000 people for waiting for a kidney transplant. Let me put it this way. In the years since Iran eliminated their waiting list, 30,000 people have died in the U.S. waiting for kidney transplants.
But do you think that information is reliable? If we don't know that much about the people who receive the organs or the people who give them, do we have any confidence that that's actually true? I think I read since 1999 they've had no one on their donors list in Iran. They cleared up
right.
this notion of people waiting or dying while waiting for a kidney.
That's what they say. And we are wise to greet with skepticism such claims. But I will also say this. News of this information and data typically travels within a community like the medical community or an academic community better than it does within the public sphere or even government information.
So there's just fabulous word of mouth traffic about Farouz down the road who has a kidney that's maybe
available. better than word of mouth. There are medical papers written by Iranian doctors. There's a very, very interesting and compelling paper, which is the reason that I wrote about this, written by a transplant nephrologist in North Carolina named Benjamin Hippen, who is kind of a he's not a scholar by trade. He's a doctor by trade, but he's kind of an amateur scholar. And he's basically been keeping a file on Iran for 10 years or so because there were papers coming out in medical journals here by Iranian doctors and so on. The more information he gathered, the more he thought, you know what, let me try to take a comprehensive look at how this market works. His conclusion is, while there are significant caveats, in other words, if you're going to build a market from scratch here for a kidney market, which is really what I'm talking about here, then let's look at Iran not as the perfect model, but as a model that has been in place, that has been put in place, and seems to work to accomplish the main goal, which is not letting people die of kidney failure.
Now, here in the United States, it is illegal. And in discussions about it, one of the concerns, of course, is the ethics of this. Who would be enticed to give a kidney? What the situation would be that would lead one? The American Medical Association's policy, though, seems a little confusing, at least to me, where they say the living donor should not receive payment for any of their solid organs. However, donors should be treated fairly. Reimbursement for travel, lodging, meals, lost wages, and medical care associated with the donation is ethically appropriate. That seems contradictory.
You know, I'm yes.
Palm it off to location fees, right? Like they
right,
do in the movies.
Exactly. And, which leads to, I would argue that leads to the possibility of much more nefarious behavior, i.e. back deals.
Corruption.
So, you know, we wrote a piece in the Times a year or two ago about a woman who wanted to donate a kidney to a guy she found out about in an online organ donor forum. She wanted to do it initially because she needed the money. She assumed that she could be paid for it, and the guy who needed it said he would pay her. Then, when it was determined that it was illegal for any money to change hands, she, who really needed the money, her husband had lost his job, they had four kids, they live in lower, very lower income circumstances in Connecticut. She said, you know what? I told the guy I'm going to give him a kidney, I'm going to go through with it. Now, the hospital, however, was very leery of her giving a kidney to someone who she didn't know, and they assumed money would change hands,
so
which meant that they
intervened.
They had to lie about it then. They had to create a fake relationship. So what we're seeing is that people who need kidneys aren't getting them. People who might give them for remuneration aren't giving them, because you know what? We may be altruistic in our hearts, but it's what you call, what economists call impure altruism.
Impure altruism.
We want something for it, and most people are not going to give their kidney for nothing.
Well, forget kidneys for a moment. How does this market mechanism operate on maybe other difficult to distribute kinds of materials that, you know, we would like to get distributed more widely? We would like to solve these sorts of problems, and the market intervention, you know, could be a solution here. Where does this apply outside of kidneys?
Well, you know, look, if you look at other things from the body, you look at where now we give things and we sell things that we didn't used to sell: sperm, eggs, blood, etc. There are interesting permutations every time you put a dollar amount on it, though. For instance, if you ask people for blood, you get more if it's a voluntary donation than if you pay them. It turns out that paying people for blood...
Oh, is that true? That's interesting.
And part of that is because you got a lot of blood and it keeps coming, and you can give something, you can come back and give some the next day. If you give a kidney, you're not going to give another one the next day.